Praise the Lord. Does anyone have anything on your heart this morning? Have your Bibles. You want to turn with me to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. We'll start reading about verse 8. Luke 2. Find your place, if you would, stand with me in honor of reading his word. Luke 2, verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward man. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, the Bible said, For unto us a son is born, a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. I want to preach to you this morning the message on the picture of peace. And we're so blessed that we have been introduced to the Prince of Peace. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to preach again. Thank you, Lord, for each and every one here. We thank you for the beautiful singing that we've heard, everything that's been done. Now, Father, I pray that we just settle in a minute, allow you to speak to our hearts. I pray that, Lord, that you just get rid of everything out of our minds this morning that's got us any conflict, any turmoil. Lord, help us to focus on you. Lord, I pray that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, would have freedom to minister to our hearts today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. The word peace in the Greek is eirene, and this means unity and accord. And the peace in the Hebrew word is shalom, which means calm and tranquility. It's the peace word. And we see here that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. In John 14, 27, the Bible said, Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you, not as the world giveth, give I it unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And, you know, we looking and the world cannot give us peace today. A lot of folks look a lot of different ways, a lot of different places, and are looking for peace, and we don't get it. And I want to read a story. I ran across this story. An artist was commissioned by a wealthy man to paint something that would depict peace. And after a great deal of thought, the artist painted a beautiful country scene. There were green fields with cows standing in them. Birds were flying in a blue sky, and a lovely little village lying in a distant valley. The artist gave the picture to the man, but there was a look of disappointment on his face. And the man said to the artist, This isn't the picture of true peace. It isn't right. Go back and try again. The artist went back to his studio, thought for several hours about peace. Then he went to his canvas and began to paint. When he was finished, there were on the canvas a beautiful picture of a mother holding a sleepy baby in her arms, smiling lovingly at the child. He thought, surely this is true peace. And hurried to give the picture to the wealthy man, but again, the wealthy man refused the painting and asked the painter to try again. The artist returned to his studio. He was discouraged. He was tired. He was disappointed. Anger dwelled up inside him. He felt the rejection of the wealthy man. Again, he thought and even prayed for inspiration to paint a picture of true peace. Then all of a sudden, an idea came. He rushed to the canvas and began to paint as he had never painted before. When he finished, he hurried to the wealthy man, gave the painting to the man. He studied it carefully for several minutes. The artist held his breath. Then the wealthy man said, "Now this is a picture of true peace." He accepted the painting, paid the artist, and everyone was happy. And what was this picture of true peace? Come back tonight and I'll tell you. No, I'm just kidding. The picture showed a stormy sea pounding against the cliff. And the artist had captured the fury of the wind as it whipped black rain clouds, which were laced with streaks of lightning. The sea was roaring in turmoil, waves churning, the dark sky filled with the power of furious thunderstorms. And in the middle of the picture, under a cliff, the artist had painted a small bird, safe and dry, in her nest, snuggled safely in the rocks. The bird was at peace midst the storm that raged about her. And thinking about that, and you know, we don't live in a peaceful world. There's turmoil, there's a lot of, kind of like this picture. But boy, I like to be able to think that the picture of that little bird up in that nest. And it didn't matter what's going on around the bird, he was at peace. He was safe, he was calm, he was warm, and he was dry. And thinking about that, see, the world cannot give that peace. As John said, Jesus said in the book of John, "Peace I give thee, not as the world giveth thee, but as I give thee." See, the world cannot give us that peace. In Mark chapter 4, starting at verse 37, "There arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they wake him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm." See, only peace will come through the Prince of Peace. It's the only peace that we'll ever have. And I think I mentioned, but we have tried, we've done so many things to try to have peace. You know, we talk about peace and peace treaties, and countries want to have peace. They want to get along, and families want to have peace. They want to be able to get together during the holidays in peace and not have a lot of stuff going on. And that don't happen so often. And so that looking and thinking this morning about the peace, are you experiencing peace this morning right now? I want to look at three ways that the Bible, Scripture tells us that it speaks of peace. And the first one is out of Romans chapter 5, verse 1. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." The first peace that I want to talk about is the peace of God. This is the work of Christ upon the individual when he enters into him by faith. This is the peace with God. Did I say of God? With God. This is the peace with God. Is when we ask Jesus to come into our heart. We receive what he has, the free gift of salvation. We receive it and ask him to forgive us and come into our hearts. We receive him And the Holy Spirit moves and dwells within inside of us. And we become, as the word Christians, we're then born again. This is the peace with God. This is the only way that we can have this peace. It's through faith in Jesus Christ. In Ephesians 2:14, the Bible says, "For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us." He is our peace. He is not our peacemaker. See, he's the Prince of Peace. He's the author of peace. And that it's all about him. And he don't just make peace. He is peace. And the Bible says here in this passage here in Ephesians that he is our peace. See, himself is the price of our peace. He bought it. That it's all about him. He is the bond of the union between us and God. He reconciled man to God. And it's him that the cross, as we look, it spans the gulf of a separation between us and God. He reached down to man, he reached up to God and brought us together and reconciled us with God. And see, when he did this, this united us to God, and there we have peace with God. Because God is so holy and so righteous and so just that he cannot put up with sin. He can't. He's too perfect. And Miss Donna had out here last month sometime a sign that said, "God loves you too much to leave you like you are." Aren't you glad for that? I'm glad that he works on us. And he changes us and makes us different. But I'm thankful for the peace that comes with knowing God. The Bible said there that he came in and he tore down that middle partition. And this is imagery back to the tabernacle, to the temple. And there was a wall that separated the Jews from the Gentiles. The Gentiles had to stay out in the area of the court for the Gentiles, and the Jews got to come in the holy place. And if a Gentile come over in to the holy place, he was killed. He was separated. And then the Jews were separated from the presence of God into the most holy place, the Holy of Holies, and there was a big curtain that was in between there. Was a separation. Well, he said here in the book of Ephesians that he hath broken down the middle wall partition between us. When he hung on the cross, you remember the veil of the temple rent in twain and was split out and signified then we could go into the presence of God. Praise the name of the Lord. Only through the high priest could go into the presence of into the Shekinah glory of God. But through Jesus Christ, we now have that access. We have the peace that comes with that access. He said, "Now that we come boldly before the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy." I'm glad this morning that I can tell you on the authority of God's word that there's peace that comes through knowing Jesus Christ. There's the peace that passes all understanding. The partition down the middle wall was this separation. You know, before we saved, we cannot come in the presence of God. You remember, and we studied it several years ago, but Esther, And Esther had won a beauty contest and become the queen of Persia. She was a Jewish girl, and then the king's right-hand man had made a decree and was going to kill all the Jews. Mordecai, her uncle, said, "You go before the king." And she said, "I've not been summoned. I can't go before the king not being summoned. I've not been summoned for 30 days, and I can't go. Unless he holds the scepter out, I'll die." And he said, "Don't think." I know Jay likes this. He said, "Don't think that your family is going to be spared. God will send somebody to do it, but your family won't live if he has to send someone else." And he said, "Don't. It may be that you've been put in that position for such a time as this." And she went to the king and uncalled for. And they say, history says that she may have even fainted when she was standing there with all the fury, all the world, all the worry, all the trouble, that she could die when she stands before the king. But glory, hallelujah. He said, when he seen her, I think when she came through the courts and he seen her, I believe he got up and went to her. And he handed that golden scepter out, and she touched the scepter and was spared. Oh, I'm thankful this morning for the scepter of righteousness that's been extended to us. I'm thankful of the Prince of Peace, that he has extended that scepter out, and I have accepted it, and now I have full access to the throne of God. Praise the name of the Lord. In verse 15, it says, "Having abolished in flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make himself of twain one new man, so making peace." So he done away with everything that separates us from God. The law, his holiness, the law kept us separated from God, that we could not, we was not worthy to come before God. In the Bible, time after time you read, if they seen an angel of the Lord, they were scared to death, that they said, "No man can see God and live. He's too holy. He's too just. He's too high. We cannot get there. It is there's too much between us for us to ever get to the presence of God." Here in verse 15, it said he abolished everything. He took away everything that would hinder us from coming and having peace with God. Now I'm going to tell you, that's peace. In that verse, he even goes on and he says that to make himself twain, one new man, so making peace. He took the Jews, he took the Gentiles, he took everything out. He brought the Jews and the Gentiles together and then reunited them with God and made one man. Amen. Woo! Glory! Hallelujah. If you ain't going to get excited, I will. Praise the Lord. I've been presenting the case. I'm about to bubble up. The peace of God, the peace with God. See, we could, this morning, if you're here and you've been saved and you're on your way to heaven, you have got peace with God. Amen. All the demons in hell can't take you to hell. The devil can't take you to hell. Your name is written down in glory. Peter said that that it's already as it's established. My name's on the mailbox. Amen. Glory, hallelujah. That's peace with God. Glory. Are you there this morning? In verse 16 and 17 there in Ephesians, it says, "And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were far off, to them that were nigh. It didn't matter how far in sin's clutches has you, or how close you've lived to the church. You're in one boat, you're all lost, and he came and preached peace to us. Amen. Praise the Lord, and brought us together. The ground's level at the cross. There ain't no big eyes, there ain't no little U's. We're all lost till we get come under, and the blood of Jesus Christ makes us saved. There's two kinds of sinners. There's forgiven ones and unforgiven. That's as plain and simple as it is. And Jesus came and to tie us back in and bring us within to fellowship with God. Boy, that's a good picture of peace. I want to show you the great picture of peace. When Jesus had crossed the sea, went over into the land of the Gadarenes, and there's a guy come running out of the tombs in chains. He'd broke them, naked, tucked rocks and stuff and cut himself, was possessed. Jesus asked who he was, said, we're called Legion because there's so many of us. And he was in a terrible, terrible state. I could see his family destroyed and ripped apart. His kids may not even recognize him. And the devil had got in, and Satan and these evil forces had got in and destroyed the family. Boy, it sounded like it could be in the United States, don't it? He was took off and involved, and the demonic forces had got him away from everything that was good, and he was involved in everything that was bad. He was destroyed. He was took down. He was in bonds. It was pitiful. Till he met Jesus. Glory, hallelujah. Till he met the King, the Prince of Peace. And I want to show you a picture now. There's the picture of what he used to be. I want to show you now a picture of what he is. The Bible goes on and says that after he cast the demons out, they went and got in hogs, and they went and jumped in the lake and drowned. The news got to the owners, and the folks wanted to go see what had happened. When he got there, it said he was clothed and in his right mind, sitting at the feet of Jesus. Glory, hallelujah. There is peace. There is the picture of what Jesus can do for you. He can take a heart of stone, the old hard toughness, and change it into something beautiful. What a picture of him clothed and in his right mind. I've got two more points, but I'll get to them tonight. I'm going to finish up with, in Luke chapter 2, on down in verse 29. They brought Jesus into the temple. And on the eighth day that they were to come in, and Ed brought him in, and Simeon was in there and seen him. Let's start at 27. He came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him the custom of the law, then took he up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. We've had the Bible describes him in the characteristics here of Simeon, as he was a man in Jerusalem. He was a Jew. He was righteous toward his fellows. He was devout toward God. He was looking. He'd been looking and waiting He was the Spirit anointed. And then it was revealed to him. And then the sweetest thing, he had him in his arms. Praise the Lord. What more could be said? What a picture. He had prayed. He had sought God. He had all these years he'd been waiting to see the Messiah. Been waiting to see what God was going to do. And now he had him in his arms. And he said, I'm ready to go on home now. The peace with God. Now, as we give the invitation this morning, I want to share with you, and I want to just a minute. And if you may be here and you may say, I don't have a lot of peace. And I'm in a lot of turmoil, and a lot of times we can be in that turmoil and still have peace with God in our hearts, but if we are truly born again, that joy of that peace will override anything else. When we allow and we are settled, our sin debt is settled, and we're living to the best of our ability, there's a peace that comes with that. But I tell you, I lived like that a long time. But I've never had peace like I got when I answered the call to preach. Not that it's preaching. That could be teaching a Sunday school class. That could be leading singing. That could be working in the church. That could be visiting folks. Wherever God's called you to be, there's a peace that I can't explain it that comes with that. And during this time of invitation this morning, I want to ask you, have you been saved? Have you asked Jesus into your heart? Can you say, preacher, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that my sins are under the blood? Or would you have to say, well, I've prayed, I was in church, I've been in church, I've been involved in things, but I just don't know. Well, that's not very peaceful when it's unsettling. And I don't know why I thought of this, but just then in the Holy Spirit, I guess, the last concert that I ever went to, Rhonda and I went, and we went in, and it was over at Viking Hall in Bristol. There was a guy standing outside handing out gospel tracts. And he spoke to me before we went in. Rhonda probably don't even remember this. And he spoke to me when we went in. And he said, asked me where I stood. And I'd been saved at a young age. And I said, I don't know. He said, if something happened in there tonight and you would happen to lose your life, would you go to heaven? And I said, I don't know. That's not very peaceful. That's a miserable concert for me. He ruined it for me. And you know that you can't have the settled peace unless we have it settled with God. That we've got to know beyond a shadow of a doubt where we stand with God. The peace with God. Let's pray. Father, we come to you again this morning, and I'm so thankful to be able to call upon you. I'm so thankful, Lord, for the message you laid on our hearts today. And Father, I ask you, Lord, during this time of invitation, you would work as you see fit. And Father, that you would bless and that you would touch and you would anoint. And God, that you would touch every heart today. And Father, that if it be someone here today that's never called upon you, this would be the day that they'd say, Jesus, would you come into my heart and forgive me of my sins? Or maybe some that's in a cold and backslidden condition, not prayed to you in a long time, not been involved, not been reading the Bible. Lord, would you move on that heart today? Lord, did I pray that you'd help us? And it may be some that's in adverse situations and a tough time and just needs a touch and Lord from you today. And Father, that I pray that most of us in here has got loved ones that don't know you. They don't have the peace. And God, that you would give us a burden. Lord, that we'd be more concerned about our family and friends. Lord, we love you today and praise you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
So I'll stand and turn to page 553. 553.